Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands fall and your love.
With Angela Butler, and I am Angela Butler. The guest tonight is Hannah Berry. She is the author of the book, The Acceptable Victim. So I'm not going to go into a long introduction. I'm going to go straight into the interview. How are you, Hannah?
Hi, how are you, Angela? Thank you for having me on the show.
You're more than welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Okay. I just wanted to make one thing correction. My name is Barry Hannah.
Okay, people always Barry Hannah. People always do. I'm no exception. Okay, Barry Hannah. That's all right. So you wrote the book, The Acceptable Victim. Decided to write your book.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I hadn't written for a number of years, and I was sitting in church one day. And out of nowhere, I just heard that still small voice that people are always talking about when God tells you to do something. And it just simply said, write. And it was so distant and far away, but I heard it clearly. And, you know, so I didn't do it right away. I forgot. But a year later, I heard that still small voice again. And this time, I with the power behind it, and I decided to write.
Okay. Your book, The Acceptable Victim, is fiction. Am I right?
Yes, it's fiction, but it's inspired by true things.
Okay. All right. How long did it take you to write your book, The Acceptable Victim?
Oh, okay. Well, it took 2 years total because I had to work and take care of other responsibilities, so I just wrote a little bit at a time.
Okay. All right. So this is your first published book, The Acceptable Victim?
Yes, it is. It's meant to be a part of a series about, you know, people with victimization situations. The second book is on the way, but I'm trying to come up with a better name for it than Hood. It's another victimization story about a boy who is from the slums of Brazil, who gets adopted by a family that sponsored him through the Save the Children program. But the family that adopts him is a black crime family. So,
okay. Where can the people listening buy your book?
All right. It can be purchased on Amazon. And there's definitely specific directions because, you know, when you go to Amazon and you put the name of the book, which is The Acceptable Victim, in the URL, the search bar, what pops up is the page with the book on and everything. But in order to buy the book from, you know, my printer, you'd have to go up under the add to cart right there on that page. Basically, some other companies are selling under, you know, the category that says new and used for my book, and they're unreliable. I've read reviews on those companies, and I've heard nightmare stories about people actually getting the book in, like, a piece of newspaper. So if you want to get a product that is bubble wrapped and in cardboard from a reputable My Printer, you would have to get it from the Amazon page, the main page.
Okay. All right. So listeners, you hear that. You hear how you go about ordering her books. So how do your characters develop? I know you said some of it's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
But how did your characters develop?
Well, the characters were developed, you know, they came out of my heart, basically. You know, you meet people all the time from a child on up, and, you know, you have family members and relatives and everything. And like you said, it is inspired by true events, but the characters come from the mind of an author's standpoint, a creative standpoint. The bad characters and the good characters, they come from the recollection of how certain people made me feel in life, whether it was good or bad. And, I made them take on the traits of some of those people. Sometimes I don't even remember the faces, just conversations and interactions.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. And that completely. The character in the book is an abusive, controlling mother. How did you develop that character?
Oh,
why did you choose to write about abuse with children and parents?
Because I experienced abuse myself, as have a number of Americans and people around the world. I was abused by one of my parents, and I noticed also that there weren't any quality fiction books about a bad mother-daughter relationship. But yet and still, a lot of people are going through that. I noticed a lot of ladies at my book signings would be crying and everything while I was reading excerpts from the book, and that's because they've been through it. So I'm like, well, why don't I write a book about a mother-daughter relationship, a fictional book, because those are more enjoyable, more entertaining, and people can relate to that, but there's not much out there, you know, in the way of fiction, mother-daughter relationships in fiction. So I decided to do it, and I think it's hot. People like it.
Do you believe that abuse is widespread, in your opinion?
Yeah, I definitely do. Actually, statistics show that 5 children die every day from abuse or neglect in the United States, and I think it's even a higher number than that.
Okay. So you believe it's a higher number than what is out there, okay?
Yeah, the statistics get what people report, so.
Yes. What is the main point of the book?
The main point is to show that, you know, you can be victimized no matter what your status is. You can be a well-to-do person, wealthy, or middle class, or, the poor class, but it doesn't matter because victimization goes across all, like, color lines and, you know, ageism and sexism and everything. And so the point of the book is to try to see if it can prick the consciences of a person, you know, whether it's the abuser or someone who has seen a young lady or gentleman or whatever, that they feel like they're withdrawn, or maybe they're a fast little girl or something acting out. Hopefully when they read this book, it'll bring them back to, you know, a sort of like, what is it, accountability. So if they see someone that they think may be going through something, instead of just being quiet, maybe they will try to help that individual.
All right. The daughter in your book, The Acceptable Victim, which, by the way, Liz, is by Hannah Berry. Berry. She, at some point, changed herself.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you believe it's important for someone who's been abused to have forgiveness? To forgive.
To have what? Oh, to forgive.
To forgive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if a person, forgiveness is extremely important. if a person does not forgive, it's like they're holding on to those events, and those things can corrupt them. They can, you know, turn their insides into just, you know, damage them mentally, damage them emotionally. They're holding on to it. Forgiveness frees them up from it, where they don't have to worry about, you know, the acceptance of the individual who did something to them, or, you know, anything like that. They're free. And so the event that happened, it will set them free from that. It's very important to forgive. They can move forward in life once they forgive.
Yes. What do you want people who read your book, The Acceptable Victim, to understand about your book?
Them just to understand, you know, that people do go through bad situations, and, you know, how you handle and how you respond to those bad situations can determine a lot of the next steps in your life. With this particular book, you know, it's a story that crosses the lines of, like, you know, like color and sex, gender. A lot of people out here are going through victimization, whether it's being bullied or child abuse, you know, abusing a child, or domestic violence, you know, or elder abuse. It's wrong. And, you know, people should actually think about what they're doing, you know, what's going on out here. And so with this, you know, it's like, for example, should help a person to see what some of the characters in the book did for the main character, Shayla, the one who was abused, that helped her along the way. So that, you know, when they read that, they'll be like, well, maybe I can help somebody out. You know, I see this girl at work who maybe she's withdrawn and nobody else is talking to her, and she looks very troubled. You know, maybe an individual will go out of their way after reading this book and be like, you know what, let me befriend her and see what's really going on. And, you know, just being her friend could help her to come out of her shell, help her to feel better. If there's anything I can do to make her day a little brighter, smile at her, say hello, you know, don't treat her like a stranger or an outcast. I'm hoping that this book will make people who are going through stuff, or who see somebody going through stuff, actually take action and do something to help.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this. Do you have any statistics available in your book or with you now about abused young people, the percentages?
No. I don't have any statistics listed in the book, but that's something I might change.
Okay.
I know the Department of Vital Statistics reports that over 2,000 children die in the United States every year due to abuse and neglect. Those are just the deaths, though. The people who survive the abuse are usually, like, they come out of that with something worse happening in their life. They either become abusers themselves, or child molesters themselves, or criminals, or they get on crack or something, some kind of hard drug and everything. You know, it's very rare that you hear people coming. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that come out of it and survive, because a lot of us out here have been battered and abused. But it's still a pity and a shame, the ones who die from abuse and the ones who grow up to abuse others.
Okay. Do you have any advice for people who are struggling with anger management, who may be abusing their children, or even advice for children or teenagers who are being abused?
I keep going back to, like, the true story of Imani Moss. Imani Moss, the young lady who, she was a child. I think she was like 12 or under, and she was killed by her mother. The social worker failed her. whoever her worker was, Department of Human Services, you know, abuse hotline person, they failed her. But, you know, if you have a long list of witnesses, a long list of people, a long list of supporters, then you may come out better. Because just imagine this. If you have a lot of people, like, okay, a grandmother is concerned about the little girl. You know, let's just use a separate girl. Let's say it's Shayla, the main character of the book. If Shayla is going through stuff at home and nobody on the outside really knows, but they suspect it, you know, one of the church members can start meeting with the mother and with Shayla about it. She can also inculcate maybe the pastor of the church in it. She can, you know, contact the relatives of the little girl. Just imagine if you have the grandmother involved, if it's a single mom, involve the father if he's outside of the relationship, outside of the household. If it's a single father with children, include the mother on the outside of the relation of the household. Aunts, you know, people who care, the neighbors, the teacher at school, the principal at school, the caseworker, even the bus driver at school. You know, you got a long list of witnesses, people who can check in on that little girl or boy and look at them, you know, look at their face and ask them questions, you know, just to make sure that, are you okay, baby? Everything okay? You and mommy getting along? You know, if it's a really small child, if the child might, you know, if enough people are involved, they might feel free to, I know I got people I can go to and tell this to. I don't have to keep it to myself. You know, a little child might just forget, you know, what happened. Okay. But if you've got a long list of people who are accountable, LLOW is an acronym that I use, long list of witnesses. If you've got a long list of witnesses who are accountability partners who keep a constant eye over this kid, they might survive. They might come out of it. Some advice for a parent is, if you're an abusive person and you know it, and maybe your relatives know it, but they don't want to see you get locked up, and they're willing to try to pretend like they don't see, that's the reason I named the book The Acceptable Victim, because the grandparent knew, the aunts and uncles knew, the cousins knew, grown folks knew, but they didn't do anything because they didn't want to disrupt the household. They didn't want to make the lady not like them. They liked things that they were comfortable with. It. So it was acceptable, basically. There is a victim in the household, but it's acceptable. That parent knows that they're an angry person, or if the grandmother knows that, you know what, my daughter is a very angry person, and I know she'll be beating them kids, then what they can do is talk to them and suggest this. Walk away for 24 hours. Before, you know, if you think you're mad at a kid, if they've done something wrong or whatever, rather than just snap and beat the stew out of them, walk away for 24 hours or 48 hours. Give yourself time to calm down before you give, you know, your child a whipping or any disciplinary, you know, action or whatever. Make sure that you whip them out of discipline and not out of anger. There's a big difference. If you are going to spank your child, beat your child, whatever, that's not right. If you're going to spank your child, spank them only on their butt with a belt or with your hand. That's legally acceptable. Another thing is, before you spank that child, if you really, really want to, you know, be a good parent, why don't you tell them, look, just imagine it was Shayla, I love you, and you know I love you, but I got to spank, I'm going to give you a whipping now because you were disobedient or because I constantly told you to not eat food or not go in the food, and then now you've messed dinner up or whatever the reason may be. This, spank them out of discipline. Let them know why you're whipping them, but let them know you love them. And then give them the whooping. That'll make a child feel accountable. They'll know, well, oh, goodness, my mother loves me, but she just doesn't want me to act bad, or she doesn't want me to do wrong things, or she just doesn't want me to disobey her. You know, I realize that, you know, you have to spank a child because the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And we don't want a bunch of good-for-nothing adults coming out of a situation where they never got a whooping or they never got accountability, you know, when they were a child, when they were doing things wrong, they got away with it over and over again. But there's a difference between, you know, the rod and giving a child a spanking out of discipline or and beating them till they bleed, you know, putting them in danger and stuff. If you are a person who is doing things loosely, I mean, oh, this is a tender subject, but if you're a person who knows you're not supposed to put your hands on a child and you know you're doing it and you hear this interview, let me give you some advice. First of all, stop doing that. Keep your hands to yourself. You know, whether it's a child molester, because that's what they are, you know, predator, child predator. A child predator, or if you're beating your child, keep your hands to yourself. If you're doing something wrong, stop doing it. If you are a parent, you know, or an uncle or an aunt, someone you know is getting close to time, you can feel in the air that something's getting ready to happen to you. You know,
yes.
Or to the child.
Yes.
Need to stop.
You're right. You're right about all of it. All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and I am Angela Butler. The guest I'm interviewing tonight is the author, Hannah Berry. The name of her
Berry
book
Hannah.
Is the Hannah. I'm ma'am.
Berry Hannah. That's okay.
Berry Hannah. And again, the name of the book is The Acceptable Victim. I believe you told the people they could find it on Amazon?
Yes.
Amazon.com. All right, listeners, we're going to go to break. Come back and talk
Berry
to
Hannah.
Berry Hannah, The Acceptable Victim, the author of Acceptable Victim.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size.
Clap your hands for Angela.
All right, listeners, you're still listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'd like to talk about some businesses that I just know you will be interested in and want to support. For example, the Wright Foundation. The Wright Foundation is an organization that helps families who are about to be homeless or are homeless. The Wright Foundation is helping people. They are not giving a handout. They are giving a hand up. So if you'd like to be a faith partner with the Wright Foundation, this is how you contact them. www.wrighfoundation.com. Also, people, do not forget Urban Spice magazine. It's a great magazine, which I am a writer for. Buy a subscription at www.urbanspice.com. And, of course, In His Own Time is a book written by Kamara Prey Fraser, about her coach, Miss Faye Baker. In His Own Time can also be found on Amazon.com. Also, another author is James Wallace McDonald. The name of his book is The Love I Never Had. It also can be found on Amazon.com. Of course, people, do not forget singer Tawana Leal, her single Crazy Love. You can find it on YouTube.com. All right, back to the interview. So you were talking about what parents could do to control themselves and what family could do, you know, if they know about it. Okay. So are there any book signings you'll be at?
They aren't on the schedule right now. I've completed three, but the other ones are not scheduled. They're in the process of being scheduled for the new year.
Do you have any advice for someone who's suffering from abuse or being bullied?
Yes. Definitely, you know, if a person is being abused, they need to call 911. They need to tell the police about it. That way there'll be a mediator between them and the parent or whoever's abusing them, because if a person is abusing you, they're actually doing physical harm to you, then they probably can't be trusted to try to talk it out. Communication is key, though. Communication helps. You know, ask the person, you know, why do you do this to me? You know, why do you feel the need to hurt me? Tell a pastor, tell a minister, tell a neighbor, talk to the person's family members. Sometimes making them embarrassed over what they've done, or, you know, holding them accountable, making them embarrassed is something that'll get them off of your back. But, you know, do something. Don't just do nothing. And prayer is a big part of help, because God can guide you and show you. Sometimes he can show you exactly what needs to be done to get out of the situation, or he can just do something to move you out of that situation.
Okay. All right. Are you currently supporting or helping any abuse groups, including state agencies?
There is one group that I'm doing work here and there for, you know, whether it's videotaping events or helping fill charity bags and stuff or whatever, called Street Grace. It's an organization to combat human trafficking, child porn, and prostitution. Every summer, Street Grace gets together donations from big major companies as well as individuals to donate, backpacks for kids in a certain age group in a certain area in Georgia. And what they do is they fill those things, those backpacks up with non-perishable things that the kid can snack on for the whole summer. They put enough in there for the whole summer. Because what they found is that a lot of the, you know, kids that are trafficked, they come from homes where maybe they have drug-addicted parents who are neglecting them, and they're using the money for drugs instead of groceries, or using the food stamps, selling the food stamps for drugs. So the kids don't have anything to eat. During the school year, those kids, they have the lunch. They get the free lunch. So that helps them. But when it's summertime, they don't have that. So they really be hungry. And so they go out to the streets, and then these, you know, they go up to beg for food or whatever to somebody, and these predators, pimps, drug dealers, they recruit them at that point. They're like, okay, I'll take you to McDonald's every day if you do this, or I'll feed you every day if you'll do that. And so Street Grace, they do that as well as a lot of other things to try to help prevent the contamination of our society through, you know, human trafficking and things. That's what it's basically, human trafficking is what they basically focus on.
All right. I'm looking at some statistics here online. It says that statistics show that 5 children die from abuse or neglect in the United States every day.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it stems from direct abuse from a parent, a guardian, or a foster parent.
Right.
Or it may result from a neglectful home situation. Or the mother or father doesn't pay attention to what's going on in the home. Now, those statistics, you sent me this, show that 5 children die from abuse or neglect in the United States every day. This question may take you by surprise, but what is your point of view on little children or babies being left in a vehicle with the windows rolled up, no air?
Oh, I mean, they're not objects. They're human beings. and they're small. They're dependent on you, you know, for comfort. You know, these parents, if they would just stick themselves in a car for a long amount of time in a hot car with the windows rolled up, see how they like it. But you know, for a baby or a child, that's just wrong. I mean, you wouldn't even do a dog or an animal that way, I would hope, let alone a child get dehydrated super fast and die. Why would you even risk that? Take them with you, or just don't go wherever it is that you need to go. If you can't take a man with you, just don't go. You cannot leave a child in a car, in a hot car like that.
Okay, the daughter in your book, Shayla, does this book help people who may be considering suicide because they feel like that is the only way out of an abusive situation?
Yes, it does, because the character Shayla, she goes through pure hell in this book. She really goes through a lot. And she tries to commit suicide, but she lives. And so when she lives, she's able to talk to another person who is knocking on the suicidal door. She's talking to a man. And she knows that men are different. They're made up different from women. Once they've made their mind up to kill themselves, it's just done. So she knows she's walking on thin ice with this person. And, you know, she manages to talk him out of it, because she wants him to be able to see what, you know, she's like, you don't know what's in store for you in the future. You don't know what God has for you. You don't know what you're capable of. How will you know if you end it all right now? And, you know, her point is to help him to get over that one moment in time that is very uncomfortable, help him out of it. She befriends him. You know, her friend that introduces her to him, they both take him in and help him out so that he can move forward. They give him lots of reassurance, and they joke with him and play with him and everything so that he can get through that experience. And he does. He survives the experience. It's very important that it's very important that people who are considering suicide remember that tomorrow can change. And if it doesn't change, how can you know what you're capable of if you don't face a challenge? If you don't try to, you know, a person's mind is spectacular. You never know what you can work your way out of until you have to do it, until you tackle it. But you won't give yourself a chance to tackle it and see what you're made of and see if you can work your way through to the next, you know, to something better if you kill yourself.
All right. So the character, Shayla, I'm going to read something from your book, okay? A little excerpt. Shayla says, God didn't forget about me. I thought he forgot about little old Shayla Moore, but he didn't, because otherwise couldn't have changed the way they have. When just a couple of years ago, I had what I thought of as a permanent resident in hell. But this character, Shayla, is a survivor. I mean, she's surviving abuse, and she has survived abuse. And, you know, it's just a very powerful book that you have wrote. The Acceptable Victim by Barry Hanna. Listeners, people listening, this is a very powerful book. I encourage all of you to go to Amazon.com and purchase the book, The Acceptable Victim by Barry Hanna. Okay, another question I would have, is, why do you believe that the adults are abusing their children? Do you think it's something psychological, or they just think they can get away with it and nothing be done about them?
Okay, sometimes
what's your opinion?
It's it's a lot of, it could be a lot of different factors. Sometimes a person doesn't have the mental capacity that they think they do. They have some mental issues that they need medication for. They may be bipolar. You know, they could be schizophrenic. They could see the child as a threat, or they could see it like in the animal world, something smaller than you is your prey. They may see their child as their prey. I just want to say something. There was a young man that I met some years ago. I'm black, and this guy was white. I was about 32, and he was about 22. He was tall, blonde, and handsome, but he was gay. And at that time, I was homophobic, praying to God about it. Oh, Lord, please help me, because I know that I can't be judging nobody. So there was a situation where this guy kept coming up to me on the job, and every time he would come, I'd find a way to scoot away from him in the politest way possible. So one day I was eating lunch, and he sat down next to me, and I tried to move still, but it was like there was somebody to my left and somebody to, and he was in, to my right, so I couldn't go nowhere. And he looked at me, and he's okay. He goes, I know you don't like me. And I was like, no, just lying. No. And he was like, oh, no, I know you don't. He's like, but there's something about you that I'm drawn to. He's like, there's something about you that I need or want. I don't know what it is. He's like, he says, I know you know, you probably don't like gay people. He's like, but when I was a child, my mother made me sleep with her boyfriend. And when I wouldn't sleep with him, and she made him put on dress, she dressed him like a girl. She made him sleep with her boyfriend. And if he refused, she mutilated his pits in front of him. She was bipolar. And this guy had no chance but God. And, you know, when he told me the story and everything, you know, I held him, and I held him. People always coming up to me who have horror stories. It's like they can sense something in me because I'm a nurturer, you know, and God is in me. I held him, and because, you know, and that took all that judgment that I was judging him, you know. You think you're a perfect person, and you're, you know, oh, I'm not going to judge anybody. I don't judge nobody. But the fact that you're, you know, trying to avoid another human being, whether they're gay or straight, you know, that's judging. If they might, you know, need something. They might want to tell you something. They might, you know, need a hug. They might just want a friend and want you to be a friend, you know. So I'm not saying run out and get you a friend that's different from you or anything. No, just don't, you know, love everybody. Love everybody. That's what you're supposed to do. Love everybody.
Okay.
You can be leery.
All right.
Folks. Yeah.
So parents who are abusive, what do you want them to understand about the damage abuse does to their children or child?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was abused, and, you know, I could have turned out to be, like, I mean, first of all, a child can turn out to be, if it's a girl, you know, and she's not getting love at home, or she's getting all this, I hate you, you'll never amount to anything, you're worthless, nobody will ever love you, you're ugly, you're stupid, you know, whatever, you're a coward. If they're given all of that at home, they're going to be looking for love somewhere else. So they might be looking for love in all the wrong places. They might not put their faith in God as a child or as a youth, a teenager. You know, how can you go so deep? The next best thing is probably if you're a boy, it's a girl. And if you're a girl, it's a teenage boy. Or it could be worse. You know, you, instead of just being promiscuous, you know, you could be a person who is the fallen prey to a pimp or some kind of a sick, twisted, older person who's, you know, into something deeper. They might try to turn you into a prostitute or, they might try to molest children with you or something, or, you know, you could get on drugs to try to escape your problems, you know, or you could become an abuser yourself, you know, have children, get into this pattern where you have children and beat them and have children and beat them. You know, that's damaging our society, not only the individual, but you're putting people out on, it's like you're putting a product out on the street at that
point. Yes.
You're no longer viewing them as a human person. It's like they're going out there as animals, you know, trying to find the best way to get to comfort that they can. And they're going to look to drugs. They're going to look to sex. They're going to look to whatever makes them feel good, you know.
Yes, you're right about that. I know, heard you said that you had been abused.
Yes.
Uh-huh. About 5 or 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
So the main character, Shayla.
Shayla has some of my characteristics, of course. She has some of my experiences, for sure. But that is a fictional character because when I felt like, okay, I told you I was in church and I heard the word right and then I didn't do it and then a year later I heard it again. Well, I didn't know what to start writing. So God, when I started seeing it, I was like, okay, well, let me just see. When I started seeing it, it was like, you know, stuff that I had gone through, I was like, oh, my God, I'm writing about me? I don't want to write about me. So I prayed to God about it. I was like, I'll write about a girl like me, but it was too rough for me to handle writing about me. And plus, I'm not I'm not the type of person that want to be, oh, boy, picture me right there. You know, oh, boy, I wrote a book about me. You know, no. I'd rather to be out of the spotlight than be about somebody else, you know, any day of the week. So I decided to take the best and worst experiences from me and a few of my close friends and make it into a story that's out of this world. And that's what it is. Because,
right.
She has characteristics from one of my family members. That's very important, you know, physical characteristics and as well as some experiences and some of my friends. So, and myself. So she's just a combination. As a writer, you have to do things like that. You have to, you know, entertain and inspire. So.
Okay. All right. The book, The Acceptable Victim, is on Amazon.com. The author is Barry Hannah, who's on Showtalk with Angela Butler tonight. She said it could be purchased at Amazon.com, The Acceptable Victim. She says type it in the search bar. Make sure you buy the book from that page underneath the Twitter and Facebook symbols where it says buy new, free shipping, and add to cart. But there are other companies on that page that have awful reviews on been delivered in the rain covered in newspaper. Those aren't affiliated with me. My printer delivers the book inside a card box that is the size appropriate, and the book is wrapped inside the bubble wrap to ensure that the product is in the best shape when it arrives. Then you write again, buy the book from the add to cart on my page. Don't purchase under used book or other company link. Okay, so I just want to tell listeners that you had sent that, so I know you feel that was important for people to know.
It is.
Yes. The character Shayla is a survivor. Obviously, she's a survivor. She is, at the end, she's no longer a victim. So that's God. She survived it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
The book has repentance in it. It has self-awareness and growth in it. You know, so it's, you know, deep in the way that you're not just going to read, you know, some little story about just, you know, a black girl who's going to the mall shopping and who gets involved with some dope dealers or whatever, you know. Not to knock those books because I love those. But in addition to, you know, a wild story, it actually takes you through the growth process of, you know, people who are evil and people who are being victimized. So it's It's pretty deep.
So you said earlier that it's the first book in a series of books?
Yes.
Am I correct? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have the title for it yet, or will the title change?
Oh, for, well, the one
the book,
that I was the second book that I was telling you about, it's called Hood right now, because I can't, you know, I was thinking about making it, let's see, what was the name I was thinking about? It's a book of a man. It's a book about a man and his journey.
Yes, it is.
So,
okay.
And it's not sweet like Shayla's story. And, you know, this story is about, you know, a black crime family that adopts poor, innocent kids from a third world country and bring them over, and then they grow up in the crime family. So, you know, crime is not cute. Crime is real. Crime is what? It could involve drugs, could involve murder, could involve burglary. Those are some serious things. You don't want to be around people like that. So that's what this book is about, the second book. But the victimization is that this boy never had a chance. He didn't have a shot, you know. He grew up. In what, you know, he left the gutters, literal gutters and sewage system of one country, and came to another country and was taken into the home of the not the cream of the crop, but the worst in the land, the worst kind of thing, the worst kind of element in the United States. So it's a pretty raunchy book. You know, but the the point is that in the end, this guy, his eyes are open wide. He finds out about God, and he's steered to a whole new beginning, a whole new life. And you know, like some men who know about God, they resist. They be like, you know, I love God, but I don't want to go to church. I ain't paying no tithes.
Okay.
This guy, that's all he's been looking for all his life, and when he finds it, he's ready.
He's ready. Okay. All right. Barry Hannah, I'm going to have to go to break now. We have about 12 minutes left in the show. Listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The author, Barry Hannah, is on Show Talk with Angela Butler. The name of her book is The Acceptable Victim on Amazon.com. I also want to tell you again about the Wright Foundation. The Wright Foundation helps the homeless people or people who are about to become homeless. The Wright Foundation is in Florida. The foundation is not giving people a handout. They're giving people a hand up. So those of you who want to become faith partners and help support this foundation, the Wright Foundation, you can go to www.wrighthfoundation.com. Also, I would like for you to remember Urban Spice magazine, which I am a writer for. Urban Spice magazine the subscription can be ordered at www.urbanspicemag.com. Also, Ms. Tamara Fraser was on Show Talk with Angela Butler. She wrote the book In His Own Time. It is based on the life of Faye Baker, who was a coach. Faye Baker was paralyzed because of an accident in Georgia. It's an inspiring book, and I encourage you all to go out and buy the book. Also, James Wallace McDonald, he's the author of The Love I've Never Had. It's a very inspirational book also. James Wallace McDonald is also an inventor. So, in his life,
brain aneurysm, if I'm not mistaken. He had a brain aneurysm, but he didn't let that stop him. He's still going forward, and he's still praising God and giving God the glory. Also, there's a singer named Tawana Leal. She has a single out called Crazy Love. You can go to YouTube.com to view the video. You can also go to the Facebook pages, my Facebook pages, and not order, but read about it. She's on ReverberNation.com and other companies. So go out and purchase her book if you want to. And I'm going to get back to the interview with Barry Hannah, who's the author of The Acceptable Victim. Now, do you believe that abused children are likely to be abusers themselves?
Yes, I do. I do. They're
not all of them, some of them.
Environment. Yeah, not all. I'm living proof of that. I'm a nurturer. I turned out to be the opposite of my abuser. I'm living proof that you don't have to be, repeat the cycle.
Okay.
I wanted to know if I could read an excerpt.
Okay.
Okay.
If you want to.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
To set the scene up, this is Shayla. She has gone back to her mother's house. She's let her mother trick her out of a good opportunity. She is like 21 years old, and her mother is angry with her, and she went back to her abusive ways. So her mother thinks she said a bad word, and so she's like, "Mama, listen to me now. You've got to believe me. I said shoot, not shit. Why would I ever use a curse word around you knowing that it'll just make you mad?" But Mary was so fueled with rage that she either didn't hear her or she just didn't care. "You're not going to use language like that in my house," she roared, jabbing at Shayla with a two-edged shovel. She grunted, striking the wall, just missing Shayla's shoulder. She darted past Mary and turned over a chair behind herself to hinder her pursuit, then jumped over her bed like Jacqueline Joyner-Kersee, ran out into the hallway, and the chase was on. Both of them were still in their pajamas. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. Leave it to Mary to start up drama before breakfast settled in your stomach. "Mama, please," she pleaded, half stumbling down the stairs into the living room. They ran into the dining area. Mary, hot on her heels, tried to corner Shay behind the dining room table, but each time she'd get close to her, Shay sprinted to the other side. Finally, frustrated and filled with endorphins, Mary flipped the table over on its side and flung the shovel at her with great force. Shayla ducked, just missing the blow, so the shovel ended up crashing into a mirrored wall instead. Mary was so pumped up with anger that she didn't notice. She just picked the garden tool back up and kept running. So basically, I'm skipping over to when they have run to, they jumped over the back fence, both the daughter and then the mother. Mother has a shovel in her hand. And the neighbor, Miss Abraham, opens the door. So he lets Shayla in and blocks the mother out. But he's looking at the mother out there looking like she's, you know, being controlled by a remote control or something, because she just ain't, she's not moving, blinking, or saying nothing. She's just standing out there. So he's like, let's see, "I won't ask what's going on because it's obvious that your mama's been lost her damn mind," he said, sighing. "Oh, boy. Do you know anybody that can talk to her and calm her down?" He held his cordless phone in his hand like it was the lifeline to God himself. Shayla thought for a second. "My grandma in Alabama is the only person she ever listens to," she said. Her eyes were red and almost completely swollen shut. Her nose was running slightly and her cheeks were flush. Tears rolled down her face like a running faucet, and she was shaking all over. She strained to think. "Her name is Agnes, Agnes Miller." "Telephone number," he asked, cautiously looking out at his neighbor, who was still standing outside the back door, looking crazed. "Hello," Agnes said, answering her phone sleepily. "Hello, Miss Agnes," Abraham said, greeting her mother. "Let's see, is this Miss Agnes?" "Yes, this is she." Well, ma'am, my name is Abraham Johnson, and I'm a neighbor of your daughter, Mary, down here in Georgia. How are you doing this morning? Fine, I guess, the woman asked, wondering why he was calling her. Is everything all right? No, ma'am, everything's not all right. I'm calling you because your daughter, Mary, is standing outside my door, half-naked with a shovel in her hand. She's wearing pajamas, but she's quite a sight to behold. She chased Shayla over here trying to beat her with that shovel, and she's holding in her hand right now. What the? Agnes gasped in disgust. Mr. Johnson, is this a joke? I wish it was a joke, ma'am, but I'm dead serious. You got a real problem going on here. Mary's standing out there right now, staring down my throat while I'm talking on the phone to you. I was hoping you could talk to her and reason her back to her right state of mind, because something ain't right. Oh, by all means, put her on the phone, Agnes replied, ready to tear her daughter a new butthole through the phone. Abraham took the phone out to Mary. It's for you, he said, handing it to her. Hello, Mary said, putting the phone to her ear, thinking it was the police. Mary Moore, what is going on down there? And what are you doing to Shayla? Mary's eyes widened in unbelief when she recognized who was on the other end. Her voice and demeanor instantly changed to that of a small child. Nothing, Mama, she answered, sounding like a four-year-old who had got her hand caught in the cookie jar. Abraham and Shayla looked at each other with amazement at what they had just witnessed. They were freaked out. An alternate personality had just come to the forefront of Mary's persona. The grown woman had started to use the voice of a little girl. Oh, so you're going to just lie to me and tell me ain't nothing going on over there? When your neighbor just called me at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, to tell me you're out of your panties and shit chasing Shayla with a shovel? I'm sorry, Mama. I didn't mean to lie. Mary shrugged her shoulders as if her mother was right there in the room and could see her doing it. Mary Moore, you take your big bullying behind back over to your house and pull yourself together in front of the whole community down there. Do you think that man ain't going to tell everybody he knows what's going on in your house? What's to stop it? Now you go home and quit embarrassing me. And don't you dare lay a finger on that girl or I'm coming down to Atlanta today. You understand me? Her mother's stern words seemed to unfold one by one as they processed through Mary's mind to full cognition, okay, bringing her back to a form of sanity. Okay.
And that's it. That was it. Okay. All right, that's the excerpt from your book. Now, the character in the book, the mother, seemed very angry, but yet she's a successful career woman. What is the main focus of this character? Because we have 2 minutes left.
Oh. This character is the antagonist. She is the bully. She's the abuser. She's the mother. She is a strong black woman who is beautiful, good at everything. So she's got everybody pretty much, you know, on her level beat hands down. She doesn't get any flack from nobody. But for her to use all that power against a child, a defenseless child who looks up to her for love, is a tough thing.
Okay. All right. So we have a minute and 8 seconds left in this interview. Is there anything you'd like to say that wasn't covered in this interview?
No, I would just like to let anyone who's interested in purchasing the book remind them that you can get it on Amazon and that you have to purchase it from the main page. You can't, you know, if you go to any other booksellers that are on that page, like if you click on new and used books, you know, under there, it's going to give you all these other companies that sell it. And I've heard horror stories about the way that stuff was delivered in the rain wet. But if you order it from the main page where it says add to cart, it'll bubble wrap and everything's enclosed in the right packaging and everything. So one is professional and the rest is not.
Okay, we have 15 seconds. Thank you, Barry Hanna, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. The name of her book is Everybody List Acceptable Victim. It can be found on Amazon.com. Everyone, have a good night.
Good night, Angela.
Good night.